presents I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Today we're coming to you from the brand new Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House, a splendidly appointed venue which the BBC hopes will become a mecca for lovers of great entertainment. And it shouldn't be long before our teams tonight have quite a number of them on their knees. The teams are, on my right, Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. Well, sadly, our regular scorer, Samantha, is away promoting her interactive virtual reality exercise video. It's called Virtually Doing It with Samantha. Please welcome her replacement from downtown Stockholm, a man who's got muscles where most of us have got shrimps. Our own Scandinavian Superman, the delightful Sven. Our first round is entitled Celebrity Misquotes. In it, teams, I'd like you to suggest wildly exaggerated quotations which the rich and famous would never have said. It's based on an interesting diversion that's commercially available under the title Daily Newspapers. So, teams, I'm after remarks that famous people alive or dead would never have said. And Barry, will you start, please?
Jane Austen, I usually write the sex bits first.
Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec, the high balls are on me.
Margaret Thatcher, I really hope John is voted back in.
Pete Sampras, it's the British players that worry me.
Jonathan Lomu, excuse me, would you mind if I came through?
Florence Nightingale, what do we want? Arise. When do we want it? Now.
Ow, ow, ow.
Henry VIII, whatever you say, my dear.
Mine's a baby, Sam. Rasputin.
Linda McCartney, yum yum, junk hair.
Any advance on that?
Geoffrey Archer. Look, in all honesty...
OK, well, let's go on to our second round now. It's called One Song to the Tune of Another. And as ever with these cryptic titles, it'll need some detailed explanation. What I've done, teams, is to make two selections of songs. The first will be played without the words or lyrics, leaving just the backing accompaniment or music. The second selection will also have the words or lyrics, but they'll be separated from the music or backing track. Then, and here comes the clever part, what happens next? What happens next is that the remainder libretto part of the first selection will be matched with the residual tunes of the second list in a way that puts different backing tracks with contrasting words that weren't originally intended to match. And if you thought that was hard to follow, just wait until you hear Colin Sell's piano accompaniment. Right, Tim, you're going to start, and I'd like you to sing the words of Kiss by the artist formerly known as Prince to the tune of Don't Cry for Me, Argentina.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show what it's all about. You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no peculiar sign I'm more compatible with. Just want your extra time and your kiss. You gotta not talk dirty, baby, if you wanna impress me. You can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me.
Thank you. Okay, your turn, Willie, and I'd like you to sing the words of Chanson d'Amour to the tune of Danny Boy.
Chanson d'amour, ra-da-da-da-da, here in my heart, ra-da-da-da-da-da, more and more. Chanson d'amour, ra-da-da-da-da, just adore. Each time I hear, ra-da-da-da, chanson d'amour, chanson d'amour.
Have another glass of gay Guinness.
Oh, ra-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay, it's you now, Barry. I'd like you, please. Well, I say I'd like you. I'm paid to ask you, please, to sing the words of the Flanders and Swans song, I'm a Gnu, to the tune of Send in the Clowns.
I'm a Gnu. I'm a Gnu. The nicest work of good nature in the zoo. I'm a Gnu. How do you do? Really ought to know what's a wahoo. I'm a Gnu, spelt G-N-U. I'm Gnut, a camel or a kangaroo.
Right, and finally, Graham, would you please sing the words of My Favorite Things to the tune of Minnie the Moocher?
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles, warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream colored ponies. And crisp apple strudels.
Doorbells and sleigh bells.
And schnitzel with noodles.
Our next round is entitled Call My Bluff, and its rules are identical to the 1970s television program of the same name. For purposes of authenticity, then, teams, I shall adopt the persona of Robert Robinson. Willie, you can be Frank Muir.
Thank you.
Graham, Arthur Marshall. Barry, you can be Miles Kington. And Tim, I see you very much as the young Joanna Lumley. Well, teams, as you would expect, I shall provide you with an obscure word, and I'd like you to provide me with some definitions for it. The word is... chrysanthemum. And we'll start with you, Tim.
During the Crusades, if you'll come back with me to the Crusades, even round at the pub would be due, there was a short time when there was an arms embargo on both sides. Instead of swords and armour and the like, the forces were left with a war of words, or rather words and music. Those from the east employed a particularly effective sort of creepy wail, where the Christian militia tried singing Western church music at the tops of their voices. In order to gauge the effectiveness of their noise, Brother Wayne of Shepton Mallet invented a splendid little gadget, and the name of this device was a chrysanthemometer, or to give it its full title, the Christian Anthem Thermometer. Now, it's usually abbreviated to chrysanthemum, and a similar device is used in Wimbledon today to measure the volume of the rather unattractive grunts of the professional lady tennis players.
Okay. Barry, will you give me your definition, please?
Well, very credible, but it's not true. I live in a little place called Hatch End in Middlesex, which has three women to every man. The same three women. And but our proudest daughter is Mrs. Beaton. This is absolutely true. Was born, lived in Hatch End most of her life, died at the age of 29, cremated on a low gas. But she was a friend, as am I, of our local vicar, and he would often come round for tea, and she was known for sandwiches, named, as you know, after Lord Cardigan. And she had very strong thumbs because she'd been and was throughout her life a potter. Strong thumbs are essential for that. And her party piece was, in fact, to press her thumbs while balancing a pint of beer on her head. She was a Beatrix Potter. But the strong thumbs are crucial and germane to this. Her speciality were cress sandwiches, but she would press them with her thumbs, enabling the bread to absorb the moisture from the cress. And these were the vicar's favourites. And it's in her book, if you look, in Mrs. Beaton's cookbook, Cress and Thummum. A hint from Mrs. Beaton.
Willie?
There's a club in Pall Mall. There's an old club called the Athenaeum, which is the sort of upper class version of care in the community. Lunatic old bishops and lords go to die, basically, because they can lie there for some days before anybody notices. And it's quite useful, it's quite nice for them. And this is where Christian comes in. It's Christian Athenaeum, basically, which used to be the telex address for the Archbishop of Canterbury. Christian Athenaeum.
Graham.
This will interest you, Humph.
Okay, well.
Don't forget your toothbrush. Didn't become a triumphant success by accident, in spite of appearances. It was actually based on a clip of home movie filmed many years ago on Super 8. In fact, so long ago, it was on Quite Good 8. This little bit of movie showed the infant Chris Evans on his way to bed, and his mother reminds him, don't forget your toothbrush. And the wee toddler replies, I'd rather go to Barbados. And so a legend was born, and that clip of film is revered in television circles today, where it's known as Chris and the Mum.
Well, I'm supposed to decide which I think is the true one. Tim's... I wasn't really paying much attention to you.
You weren't alone.
I think it's yours, Willie.
Thank you.
Now, can we see who's bluffing and who's telling the truth? Right, our next round is... For our next round, we were to be playing a game called Name That Tune. In it, Colin Sell plays a tune and then tries to recognise it as quickly as possible. However, as the fastest time in rehearsals was 2.5 hours, we're going to play an earlier version of the game called Name Those Roadworks. Teams, I shall shortly play in a sound recording of some well-known roadworks, which I'd like you please to identify. All right, well, here they come now. Right. Well, what do you think about that, Barry?
The drills gave it away. It's the...
There's somebody working there.
It's the... I passed there and took a photograph. It's the 312 Harrow. A312.
I'm sorry, no.
No?
No.
No.
I think it's the A40. Just west of the Westway. About Bristol.
No, I'm sorry, you haven't got it either. Oh.
Is Chippenham anything to do with this?
What, those big muscular brutes who come on the telly?
Think back. It's
Watling Street.
Mornington Crescent.
You're not going to get it. It was, of course, an old favourite. Resurfacing work on the A5 north of Shrewsbury.
That was never Shrewsbury.
I think possibly the interference from the temporary traffic lights on the nearby A458 must have put you off. Well, I enjoyed that so much, I think we'll have a quick... we'll have a quick round of Name That Pause. I'm going to play in three pauses that you should recognize from recent radio output. Can you identify them, please? Here they come now.
I've got that one.
Okay. We've all got that one. Yes.
How do you know it's finished?
That was, and the third one coming up now.
Oh.
Okay, now.
Well, the second one, Hump, the second one was the pause between Anderson Country and another bloody stupid idea.
I'm going to give you 15 marks for that, and to hell with Sven.
Well, the third one was that middle bit out of T for Two, Cha-Cha-Cha.
It was one of them, Terry Christian, trying to think of a question.
No, I'll tell you what, I'll have to tell you. You should really have recognised the first one from its many appearances in Letter from America.
Ah, yes.
The second one was the Radio 1 listener spot.
Yeah.
And the one that Willie got, he actually got the wrong pause there. That's actually been preserved for posterity under the title The Best of Anderson Country. Now, it's time to immerse ourselves in a round called Sounds Peculiar, which I understand was an original suggestion for the title of this program. A less original one was Sounds Rubbish. Right, teams, I shall play for you some unusual sound effects, which I'd like you please to identify. And Tim, the first one's for you, and here it is now.
This sounds like something sponsored by Heinz, the 57 varieties fame. Sponsored meeting. It probably leads me to believe that this was a huge vote of confidence in Will Carling by the 57 officers of the English Rugby Union.
Barry, see if you can identify this.
That's Elizabeth Hurley trying to act her way out of a paper bag. Or Jane Russell.
Willie, can you tell me what this is?
Aznap éjjel nem kellett tartani az égtől. A víz volt Herodes bűnsegédje a sötétben.
Pár óra múlva, szinte 5 percenként szakították meg az adást annak közlésével.
That's slapping hands on naked stomach. That's Desmond Morris translating the Kama Sutra from the original Hungarian into body language for Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Finally, Graham, I'd like you please to identify this.
I think that was a blazing oil well being put out by Red Adair and Ginger Rogers.
Well, that was fun. Now, this is a round called Notes and Queries. Whiling away an idle moment with my copy of The Guardian, I happened upon an interesting question and answer section, which they call Tones and Queasy. In it, correspondents pose questions and supply answers to such problems as, has there ever been a newspaper format where readers do all the work for nothing? And has the idea ever been blatantly ripped off for use in a wireless program? Well, we shouldn't get too bogged down with such hypothetical questions. Here instead, teams, are a number of genuine queries. for which I'd like you please to supply the answers. And we'll start with you, Barry. And the query is, how much has the Pope paid?
Ah, now, I know he's not paid in money. He's paid in wine. That's why they have to carry him about in that chair.
Well, actually, you're very, very close, because the answer is that he's paid, theoretically, he's paid nothing at all. All his expenses are met by a specific Vatican department. On with the fun. Graham. Your question is, why is no food blue? I'll say that again. I felt a bit sick while I was saying it. Why is no food blue?
Well, it is if you leave it long enough.
Well, the answer is... this is interesting. Because there are exceptions, of course, which you might have mentioned. You'd have got an extra mark or two for that. I'm sure Sven would have accommodated you. There are exceptions.
Well, such as blueberries
and blue cheese.
Yeah.
But the answer generally seems to be that most plant foods are mildly acidic when fresh. And blue is primarily an alkaline colour.
Gosh. Good Lord. Yeah.
Willie, can you tell me, please, where is it not regarded as impolite or shameful to break wind in public?
From past experience, I'd say the seat next to me.
After all these years, now you tell me.
Well, I'll tell you, in the Pirapirana area of northwest Amazon, and possibly France, personally, I wouldn't risk it myself.
They call it the Mistral.
Tim, a question for you. Question for you, Tim.
Yes, Tom.
Who invented the deck chair?
The Marquis de Sade.
It goes back a bit further than that. It was probably the ancient Egyptians, since similar folding X-type chairs have been discovered in their tombs. Then again, it probably wasn't.
Could be the French.
Yeah, probably.
All that blowing...
They were windbreaks, weren't they? The French?
Our next round's entitled Blues. The other day, listeners, Willie came up to me and said, Humph. Why are we always pandering to the public's tinkling, superficial laughter? I want a round that shows the anxiety of the 20th century man. I want a round that lets me express the deep hurt of my inner child. So with this in mind, teams, I'd like you to provide...
I said that.
You did, no. You did. Teams, I'd like you to provide each other with a subject on which to sing a melancholy blues number. It's bound to be a close-fought round, as I know you're all exceptionally sad individuals. And just to complete the depression, the piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Right, Tim and Willie, I'm going to ask you, please, to provide a suitable subject for Barry and Graham.
The Hello Magazine Blues.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Woke up this morning. Day began.
Looked in Hello Magazine, saw another happy man.
Now I've heard that Michael Jackson can't do it,
but we know that Imran can. Oh, he certainly can. He has the capability.
Well done, Colin. Barry and Graham, will you please suggest a title for Tim and Willie?
Oh, I think The Lottery.
The Lottery.
The Lottery.
I woke up this morning and I turned on the evening news. They read out my lottery numbers 2, 9, 15, 37, 41, and 42. Oh, yeah, they say that money don't bring happiness. So I spent the rest of my life singing the lowdown. Miserable ain't life a pain. Oh, my God, I'm suffering. Who needs 20 million quid anyway? Blues! Oh, yeah! Yeah.
Well, as Sven and his personal trainer, Bjorn, pop off together to the BBC gymnasium, before I pop off too to watch them getting down to action on the pec deck, I'd like you please to announce the late arrivals at the Ornithologist's Ball.
From Australia, will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Platypus and their duck, William.
There, if you look for it.
Only welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Tit. And their son, Tom.
Mr. and Mrs. Can and their footballing son, Pele. Separate bills, please.
From Wales, the family Mott. With their mining son, Black Gwilly.
Will you welcome, please, Geoffrey Archer? I mention him because he usually gets a laugh and he's undeniably a tit. And a great bearded tit is the Oliver Reed Warbler.
Mr. and Mrs. Shag. And their children are far too numerous to mention.
And from Ireland, Mr. and Mrs. O'Warbler and their son, Will O'Warbler.
Mr. and Mrs. Earns.
Oh, welcome.
And their none too generously endowed son, Little Bit.
From Spain, Senor and Senora, pretty boy then. And their son, Jose, pretty boy.
Well, Mr. and Mrs., will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Tross and their peripatetic son, Albert, the wandering albatross.
And bad news for the grouse, here comes Gloria Stwelf.
The Moors of Scotland. Will you welcome, please, and he's not happy, in fact, he's having a bit of a grouse, it's Sir Peregrine Falcon and his gilly, Mott.
And also...
He's puffing a bit. Sorry.
From that part of the world.
Uh-huh.
Mr. and Mrs. Doubting to Slimbridge. And their little son, Wee Ken Doubting to Slimbridge.
From Germany, will you welcome, please, the Ingalls? That's Frau and Herringel.
Mr. and Mrs. Redbreast and their son, Arthur.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the privatized utility of time meets the Nolan Inquiry of Eternity, and the Rob Andrew of life meets the Jonah Lomu of destiny, I notice that it's all over. Tune in again in 2 weeks from today and you'll miss the final edition of this series, which is taking place next week. Meantime, from the teams, Sven, Bjorn and myself, goodbye.
Tim Rotena, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton have been given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.